We're going to be in, well, first off, good morning. We're going to be in Hebrews 4, but before we turn there, or as you've already turned there, let's open up with Psalm 34, if we would. Again, hopefully, I hope this dovetails into what God has for us today and goes along with all those hymns that we just sang. Thank you for the selection. I was speaking last week to one of the brothers and mentioned that how nice it is to have songs that glorify God, not us, not the environment that we live in this beautiful world, and crazy rock music, you know, that is doing nothing but bringing attention to the worship team. Appreciate it. Yeah, bringing worship right to the throne of God today, guys. Yeah. Psalm 34. Hopefully it will go in your heart and mind as well as it did mine this week. And it's not me speaking to you. It's the Lord. I hope and pray the Spirit that lives within us that will make these words yea and amen. And how they go together is what really, lately it's just been exciting me, if I can use that, to see that everything that we read, because a lot of us, we like that New Testament. It seems a little easier to understand, but we have to have the Old Testament in order to understand what it is that God is telling us. And, you know, always look in our biblical interpretation as we're trying to understand what is God saying and why is he saying it. Always look for that first principle of mention. It wasn't the first time that we've heard it. We've heard it prior, and it was repeated and repeated for a reason. So as we read this, I hope that God just starts moving scriptures around in our minds it'll just make us alert is what it really does. Maybe none of them are for today, but if we get them into our spirit tomorrow when it's necessary, tonight when something bad goes on, believe me, it will go wrong. We can go to these first and find our strength and our peace in God's word. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't want to comment too much. Those of you probably know me laugh at that, but you have to. I have to ask myself, Doug, I will bless the Lord at all times. Will I? All times, not just the good times, not just the ones that fit my program. I will bless the Lord at all times. And when it really goes bad, that's when we just need to stop and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Or not, why don't you dump this on Ted? He needs this more than me right now. No, it's Lord, you know, I'm going to bless you in the good and the bad. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that makes me wonder, what's in my mouth? A lot of the times during the course of the day, when I'm thinking, when I'm speaking, when I'm sharing with somebody, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I think more of us as Christians need this today. A lot of us boast about our past and who we were and what we accomplished and what we've done. Has nothing to do with me, any of that stuff. What I need to do, my soul, that inward part of me, the earthly man that's in there, my conscience, my thoughts, my soul should make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. First principle mentioned, Psalm 63 goes back to that. If, you know, we're not going to turn there, but watch how the Lord just puts a pattern throughout this scripture. We need to see that more than if we've seen it before, see it again, because it's deeper than anything we even think. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I hope that sets in with somebody today. Because as we look at that, I sought the Lord. We say, I found the Lord, you know. Not really. He found us. He was right there, sitting right next to us, walking right next to us when we needed. But can you, we, you, us, can we remember when I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears? All my fears, all those fears that we've had, of what were they? You have different ones. Some of us are the same. Going broke, never getting married, never getting remarried, never having any fun, never having a house, never having a good car. You know, how many fears have we had? And here we are sitting here today. Things have not taken us over because of the love of our Lord. And that was one of those songs. Why? Why should I gain from his reward? Because he loves me, period. There's no other answer. Because he loves us, and that's his plan. That's his program, if we would. He wants to bless us. And all he asks in return is that blessing again throughout our lives. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How about you? I remember the day I sat on a stump with a shotgun in my hand, crying to the Lord, please deliver me. Please. I don't know what I'm even going to do from this point on if you say yes, but please. And he did it. It wasn't any, well, here's a list of what you need to do. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste, what an invitation. You can try this gift out. This goes to believers and unbelievers. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Blessed. There are blessings of God. There's I hate to use the word happy to, you know, respond to that word, because happiness depends on happenings. And some days the happenings aren't so good. I promised I wasn't going to go there, Mom. I'm not going to do it. Happenings aren't so good, so therefore we're not happy. But the joy of the Lord, the blessings that he brings onto us, just keeps us in that spirit of that. Try it out if you haven't. If you're watching from home, if you're here today, and you know that you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm begging you, do it today. Do it today. Taste it. If you're not really going to be saved and you're just doing it for something else, to get out of a jam, to keep your wife happy, to, you know, get the right job or something, forget about it. Don't even take a taste. But if you're really searching for something different right now, if you really, really are tired, weary, wore out, come take a taste, God's saying, taste. Please try me out. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'll teach you. The knowledge that we get from this Bible cannot be, we can bring it in. But to understand it, to have a full teaching, we need to learn right from the feet of Jesus. Don't think we know him just because we've heard of him. There's an old worldly statement that familiarity breeds contempt. And somebody, I think, Ted, you were saying that with we just start singing. We get so familiar. Don't ever think that we know him to the fullest extent. He'll let himself be known to us as much as we want. But we need to sit at his feet, and he will teach the fear of the Lord. What man is it that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? That's it, just me? Who wants to go fall in a ditch tomorrow? Who wants to, you know, whatever it might be? Everybody wants life, peace, love. Just exist during the course of the day with just a feeling that I'm okay. I'm okay with who I am. I'm okay with what God thinks about me. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. Keep your tongue from evil. Boy, it's like he's... And thy lips from speaking guile. You want that life, you want good days, you want to love those days, you want to see some good. He's given us two little examples here. Is keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Keep after it. Keep going. The eyes, why? Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. He's listening to you right now. He's listening to my cries, your cries, our cries, but am I crying so that I don't get caught? Say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, please get me out of this. Is that because you know that you know that you know that we did something here that somebody might know? He's watching, and his eyes are upon us, righteous people, and his ears are open to our cry. But he wants truth to come into those ears of his. It's a heart call, not just because we want something from it. It's not manipulation. It's not that kind of a offer that he's making. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off their remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and you and I have to cry out to him, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles, both here, now, and later. The Lord is nigh, verse 18, unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Pride has to go in whatever form it might be. What the Lord requires is a broken and contrite heart. We know that. But again, pride is that one thing that'll keep each and every one of us from what God is offering here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Or that word in some is hell guilty. See, there's going to be a verdict coming up on life, mankind's life. And we are either not guilty in Christ Jesus or guilty. There is no limbo in between, or maybe, you know, if I try hard enough after the Lord comes back for his people, I'll get a second chance at salvation. It doesn't work that way. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I think some of your translations says condemned. So, you know, why? Condemned to what? Condemned to a life of eternal salvation, or condemned to a life of eternal separation from a loving God. So let's turn to Hebrews 4. I'd ask us each to meditate on that psalm, if we could, and ask the Lord, show me where I fit in here, Lord. What is it exactly that you're trying to tell me? And if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, please hear, if you're listening today, please hear the promises of God, not the threats of Doug Gibney or my opinion or interpretation, but there is a judgment time that's coming. And that's why Paul is laying out, the Holy Spirit, if you'd rather that, or the writer, the author of Hebrews, is laying this out to us point by point like a law case. He's just doing every little point that we don't build up straw men. Well, what about? Well, how about this? He's giving us all the how abouts if we pay attention. Now, last week we left off in verse 11. I'd like to pick that up. Probably only going to go to 13 with the time and communion today. But please continue to read that, you know, right up to 16, which is the reason why we're doing this. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or disobedience. Is that, well, I obey, yeah, but I'm disobedient every now and then. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I'm going to end at that one and we'll pick up. But Paul, so far, as we've started in one up to this point, Paul is giving warnings. We don't like that. We've said that. He's given warnings, and we should pay heed. We should take it. Remember how many times of due diligence. Take heed. Consider him. I mean, Paul is saying, why would he have us watching so much and taking caution if there wasn't something that could happen as an end result? So as we're looking here, Paul is warning of man's, these Jews that he was talking to, but remember, everything is not to us, it's for us also. There's an application. Paul was warning these Jewish converts to Christianity and others who might have been hearing of man's present response and obedience to God's word. They might not have had a Bible like this, but they had scrolls and they had the scripts down and they had the Old Testament writings. So he's trying to tell these guys who knew these words, just like we do. We know the word. Oh, I've heard that. I've read that. Oh, yeah. What exactly did that mean? He's telling them of the promises, let's put it, or the results of not heeding this word, not considering Jesus, not giving my due diligence, not just as a church. We should be moving on like an army that's going through unstoppable. But what the Spirit of God is trying to say is, Doug, bless you. Children, pay attention to this. Because now that rest, the future rest of eternal life, all of that, salvation, everything that has to do with us is found in these words and you and I trusting in these words and living them out individually, not just corporately. It doesn't matter where I am during the course of the day, if you're there or you're not there. I should speak the same. I should act the same. I should believe the same every day, not just in the congregation of believers, so that the world that's going to hell in a handbasket at a rapid pace can have something that they can look at and consider, this is attainable by me. This is a promise that's better than anything else that's out there. So let's, what is that word saying? Let us, if you're still in Hebrews 4, let us labor. And that word labor means to make every effort. Make every effort. So it's not just on Sunday, Doug. It's not just once in a while. The Spirit of God is saying, because of all, because there's that word therefore again, right? Right in there. Let us labor therefore. So, I mean, there could even be a period there, but there's not. And I'm not trying to change the word of God. But, Doug, make every effort therefore. What, therefore, everything that I said from Hebrews 1 to everything that I'm going to say from the four part thus far and from now on, I need to make every effort on a daily basis to increase in my maturity as a Christian through God's word. Not by my ideas, not by how many Bible studies I attend, which are all good. If you're not attending a Bible study, you're doing yourself a disservice. If you're not reading God's word on a daily basis, you're not going to lose the salvation, but you're doing yourself a disservice and the Lord that paid for. So it goes on and on and on. That's part of this labor that we're going to look at. So therefore, because of what he instructed this far, keep on reading. Don't let, like these Jews, the world and the pressure and the stuff that was coming against them, don't let it push you off the path that God has for us right now. And the way that I can stop that, some people think, oh, I'll just go to church. That'll make my life so much better. No, that's not it. What if I say something wrong? What if you didn't like the worship? What if this says, you know, smite them with emeralds today might be my stuff. You didn't get anything out of this. I'm supposed to labor that I might get into this rest. And it's more than just one item. Chuck Smith always used to say there's three elements in our salvation and our Christianity that are essential. It's the Word of God, number one. Read it. And then he says, pray. Our prayer. Praying what we just read in this word, putting that into my life and then into my shoe leather and do it. So the word, prayer, and fellowship, being with one another, encouraging one another. When we fall, we pick each other up. When we hurt, we try to supply what might be needed. This is how important it's going to, I mean, it's always been important, but in the days that we're in, I feel it's going to become much more important. That's why in 2 Timothy, a little side trip, 2:15, I think it is, it says, study to show yourself approved, a workman worthy of his hire, not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing if this is true or not, as we're going to get to. And that's what Paul is about to base the rest of Hebrews on, is this making every effort to enter into that rest. If we do that, we won't fall, it says, fall. That doesn't mean we lose our salvation. It means trip up or go backwards. And how would we do that as Christians? Because of unbelief, but that word in our language kind of, I'm a believer. Oh, but are we obedient every time? The answer is obviously no, none of us. But we can fall, we can lose track. Did you ever stop to smell the roses along a hike? Here's a lady's flower walk coming up. And some do it like it's a Fort's March. I've watched them. They're just out there with their water bottle going like crazy. And I thought we were here to look at the flowers. There's others that stop and they look at them and they're taking pictures of them. And they're just absorbing everything for them, for that day. That's what we need to do with this word. Don't force march it. Don't run through it like, oh, well, I have to finish the Bible in a year. No, you don't. It'd be nice. Just read it every day. Get something in there. Stop. Smell the roses along the way. This is not a forced march. It is going to be work. It's going to be labor, or else he wouldn't have used that word. But we can do it with his help. So remember, too, as we read that, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. This is not labor. This is not work. It's not making effort on my part to earn my salvation. I might be saying something that, well, who thought that? A lot of people think that. That work in the Christian realm is equivalent to my salvation, and therefore I must work in order to earn it. That's not the way God put it out there. I work because I'm saved. I don't work to get saved. So this is not work or labor or making effort, diligence to earn our salvation, but it's an encouragement for every one of us to be all that we can be. Are you, am I, all that I can be? There are days that I think, no, I could have done so much more with my life. I could have offered my wife and my children something more, let's say. But you know, that's not God's economy. He's sitting there saying, you're mine. I love you. And you've got an inheritance that all I'm asking you to do is keep it, keep it, keep it by laboring every day, giving your best effort, and being all that you can be. So maybe tomorrow I say, well, I wasn't all I could be today. But I open the door and walk outside and get on with it. Don't live in that past. What did Paul say? This one thing I do, I forget what's in the past, and I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How am I going to know what that is unless I get into this word here? And the enemy of our soul is trying to get us not to be happy with who we are, not to think that this word and its promises are for today, yay and amen, or there's a lot of other ways you can do things. No, Paul and the Holy Spirit are saying this, and this really, I've believed it since the first day I got saved, but it's becoming more and more real. Why would he be so insistent to labor, to enter into this rest, both now, that peace of God, the rest of my past sins are forgiven, my sins today, and as long as I'm going to live, forgiven, and eternity with my Lord and Savior, to be with my loved ones, why would I want not to believe that? And I feel that that's because the enemy of our soul knows what's coming. He doesn't know everything. God is omniscient, omnipotent, Satan has limitations, but he knows that if we don't make every effort to enter into this rest, we can trip up or fall and go backwards, as the same example, remember the first principle of mention I mentioned before, he's telling us about these Israelites who started mumbling, groaning, complaining, and they didn't enter into that rest. Why? But I felt there's so much more than just my peace right now. You can muscle your way through any day if you've really got some will. Is that true? Yeah. I hate it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this, but I can make it. Amen. Satan is looking at a much broader picture than what we're doing on a daily basis. The reason why this labor and this effort in our salvation is so important is because there's coming a day of judgment. There's a day of a white throne judgment for unbelievers, and there's a day of a bema seat judgment, the judgment seat of God, to get or lose our rewards. And the bema seat should never be a time of fear in any Christian's life. My sins are dealt with. He hung them on that cross. It wasn't, as we heard, it wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was my sin, mine. And he didn't say anything because he couldn't say, no, Father, that wasn't me. That was Doug, like we do. We throw each other under the bus in a heartbeat, don't we? But he did it for the plan of salvation so that Satan wouldn't have a word to say on this day when you and I stand before an almighty God and give answer, give account for what we did with this word, what we did with the life of the word, the Logos. We're going to see a little play on words to a sense. No, we're talking about Jesus. He was the word of God. But this is speaking about the written word of God. The thing that we have in front of us, and some of us have 5, 6, 7 copies of this at home. Why isn't that heard more? About Satan is trying to keep us from this so he can keep us from what is yet to come. So I'm not going to even come near finishing this, but let's look at just a few. Turn to Matthew, if you would. Matthew 12. So Matthew 12, 35 through 37. And no, that wouldn't it. Nope. Go to Romans. Romans 14. I'll find that one in a minute. Romans chapter 14. Okay, Romans 14. Let's just start at verse 10. Again, why? Why do I need to labor? Why do I need to study? Why do I need to get this word into me? Why do I need to put it in my life? Because Satan is not only for the unbeliever trying to rob every reward that you and I have ever gotten, the ones that God had. That's his reason. And to keep those who haven't been in a relationship with Christ from eternal salvation, blessed assurance, and an assurance of the whole of eternity for each and every one of us. Romans 14, 10 through 12. Why do you judge your brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want us to, this week, you read it and read it over again. Whether you believe this here or on the TV or whatever you're watching, it doesn't matter what I believe, in a sense. He believes this, the Lord who spoke it. And it's his plan. So what he's saying is we shall all, that means all of mankind, stand before the judgment seat, the bema seat, bema, however you want to report it, a spot in the physical realm was the Olympics, where the judges would sit up very high above everything. They'd be able to watch the whole race, the whole program from their spot and judge accordingly and rightly. That's how God is. He's watching. His eyes are running to and fro. He sees everything. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Wow. So all God is doing in his love is he's not trying to beat us. He's trying to tell us there's a day coming that you better get prepared for. How many of us on job sites or working around the house, how about mom? You know, okay, kids, let's get going. Let's get going. You're trying to get out to go someplace, and kids are still watching TV, and Doug is in the refrigerator looking for something to snack on, and mom's going, let's go, let's go. That's all God is saying. Don't take this as some kind of hard word. This is a loving word. That all of us are going to give account to ourselves, of ourselves, to the Lord. What else did I have? 1 Corinthians 3. I'll go to 9, bless you. I was going to go to 10, but it says, for we are laborers together with God. Don't you love that? We just heard labor to enter into that rest. For we're laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That word in there in the Greek, I mean, it talks about growth. It's like, you know, we're God's husbandry. We're his garden. And my gardens have never looked real good, so it's nothing to... But have you ever seen somebody that has a beautiful garden, whether it's vegetables or flowers? It's like, my goodness, how did that happen? It came with labor, came with effort, came with weeding, getting rid of stuff, throwing things out that aren't necessary, supplying, fertilizing. God is trying to get this to our spirit that's what his word is trying to do before we leave here. For we're laborers together with God, and you're God's husbandry, and you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man, here it is, but let every man take heed how he builds. That's why Paul is saying, labor to enter into this rest, Doug. Don't fall. Don't go backwards. Don't start seeking the things of the world or anything else that you used to have. Keep moving forward. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, verse 13, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, every man, every woman, mankind, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he will receive a reward. That's why we're being pushed, if you would, into this obedience. He's imploring us. He's begging us. Pay attention to this. Just because you haven't heard about the judgment seat, just because you don't care about rewards, just because you're going about your life living without a God in your life, because you are your own God, basically, and you make what you feel you can follow, there's going to be trouble coming. That's a loving God trying to warn us, trying to show us what Satan is doing. And we're going to receive a reward. Pay for service is what it is. It's I think methos in the Greek or something. This God has this plan. You go to work for the school district, let's say, when you did, and you knew because of the printouts they gave us, even though we got a 72-cent raise one year, I know what I'm going to make, right? And you wanted that, didn't you? I want that. It's mine. I work for it. Well, we don't. It's not like I want that reward because I work for it. It's like you planned this for me. You planned this for me. You want to give this to me. It's like a parent giving a child something that'll just send them. If any man's work, here's the other side, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. That's really critical here, talking about the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ, and why we should make every effort and labor. So, yes, we're going to lose rewards, but please don't think because I'm not laboring, making every effort right now, that I mess up more times during the day than I really do good. Don't think that you're going to lose your salvation. What did God just say? God is he's looking at our lives, and sometimes it's just going to be poof, gone. But it's not your salvation, because he says you're going to lose that reward, but you're going to be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Oof. How many of us have thought that today? Good morning, Holy Spirit. We're up and about. What are we going to do today? I mean, that's how real this is. It's not just some void, empty promise, pie in the sky. He says, if any man believes in me, we'll come and make our home with you. I'll abide in you, take up residence. Wow. And God chose to live in you. Chose to allow his Holy Spirit just from the ascent of saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to try. I'm going to labor. I took a taste and this was good and I want more and more of it. My last one would be 2 Corinthians 5. Scriptures we've all read. And I hope after we stop in this one, that we realize that the labor is going to be ongoing until the day that he takes us home. It doesn't end. When do I? People used to call Pat up from my old lifestyle and ask, when is Doug coming back? Hasn't he been good long enough? Those were phone calls from my old cronies. And Pat used to tell them, he's not even begun doing good. He's got a long time, but this won't end. This goes on until the day we go home, whether naturally, which we're all going to go, or the rapture, which I'm seeing more and more. I believe in it from the day I got saved, but I'm seeing it. It's like, how much more could we want? So, Doug, get going. Get moving in here. Where was I? 2 Corinthians 5. Where did I leave off? For we must, let's just look, Paul again was saying, let's just go 8, I forgot where I was going. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. That's, some of us just want out of here. It's a whole lot easier than reading the Bible every day. It's a whole lot easier than studying. It's a whole lot easier than trying to find out what this mean in Greek or Hebrew or whatever. It's a whole lot easier sometimes just to die, isn't it, and get on with life than sit under Alan's teaching on the TV and listen to some great prophecy stuff. I love it. Somebody says, oh, I don't want to hear prophecy. I don't want to do this. Reading a book. Lauren's got some beautiful books that he's talking to these people in China next week, the week after, just trying to show them the love of Christ. The labor, the work has to be done now because this day is coming and that's what the enemy does not want. Wherefore we labor, verse 9, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror, or what we've been hearing, the fear, the awesome, reverent respect for a God that his word's going to come to pass. Do we persuade men? But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. What does that labor look like for you and for me? I think this is one that the only way you're going to know it as a servant of God, if you're in that relationship, is to read his word daily, to study it, and to ask him, Lord, help me apply this to my life. He's probably already got it all set for every one of us. Look at those things that we do in the name of the Lord on a daily basis. That's what your calling is, basically. Don't try to be a pastor or a teacher, you know, or Sunday school if that's not what you're doing. What has God got you doing now? Keep doing it. Labor in that. Having him on our lips every chance that we get to speak the love of our Lord to someone. I'm going to end this. We can go to the table. How critical is this? It's so critical. Because your very life and my very life depends on the obedience to this word as compared to the disobedience that the Jews that we look at and say, how could they do that when they had that right, all those miracles and things happening, the same way that you and I can do it. Very easily, little by little over time, slip, little misstep, nothing really happened, and we fall into that spot of not finding the true peace and the true rest of our Lord and Savior. If we want that, then what's coming up next week will tell us the seriousness of these words, because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quick, living, powerful. It will cut like a surgeon's knife right into our heart. When you read this word, you can't put anybody else in it. I've got to put me in it first and allow the surgeon, the great physician, to do his work in me, trusting him, believing in him, and then if it doesn't happen tomorrow, wait on him until I see it come to pass. And I feel that's what he's trying to tell us in this work or this labor, and we'll look at it next week in what does that labor look like for me? And we'll go from there. So Father, thank you as we approach your table. Please don't allow anyone to be kept back from this table, Father. This is what you've done for each and every one of us. Not what we're going to do for you, but what you've already done, the completed, finished work of salvation. Help us come to the table. Ask for forgiveness where it's needed. Take the forgiveness as it's offered, Father, immediately. And then just press on, labor. Make every effort in the time that we have left to just enter into your perfect rest. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The rest of that verse, 13, 14, 15, that's power. So I'd ask you, have a taste of it this week before we come back next week. Just get a little taste of how powerful this word is. Amen. Amen. Amen.